The regular City Council meeting of Wednesday, January 11th, 2012. All council members are present. May we all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? It's a little funny doing this portion since I know we're going to be turning it over in a second, but next up is, are there any additions or deletions or conflicts of interest?
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
I move we confirm the addition of the employee review matter to the executive session again this evening.
Okay. Council?
Is there a second?
No, second.
Okay. Bob?
We had an agenda setting meeting last week, and where we talk about all the issues on the agenda, and we had talked about executive session at that time, and this issue wasn't raised. We also had a retreat on Sunday, and this issue wasn't raised. And so generally we talk about in public what our agenda will be for the next session. And since this was added on the agenda without any discussion, I was wondering if who's proposing it and what the intent is for this item.
I'm the one who in accordance with the governance rules.
Microphone.
And I'm not heavy. It's inappropriate to discuss the intent of it except in executive session.
I don't agree with that.
Well,
I can.
So I think, you know, we should move forward and vote on it.
Okay. Any more discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay.
All right.
I have an item to add, please. Under the unfinished business, I would like to add setting a date for the next retreat and letting the community know about our upcoming ward meetings. So if we can add that to the unfinished business.
Anything else? All right. Do I hear a motion?
I move to accept the agenda as amended.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next up is the nomination of Mayor and Mayor Pro Tem.
Do you want me to nominate again? I nominate Debbie Lester for Mayor.
Okay. Is there a second? Any discussion? Okay, Bob.
So at the council retreat, I discussed what my view is of the necessary qualities and traits of a mayor, and that was based upon both what's in the governance manual and state law regarding mayor-council form of government, as well as my own experience serving in that role for 1 year. And what I said was that one of the most important characteristics of the mayor is, even though it's not a strong mayor in terms of having independent management authority over the administration, one of the most critical roles is to have a good working relationship with the city manager. If the mayor does not have a good working relationship with the city manager, the system is going to break down. Also, it's important that the mayor understand thoroughly the governance manual, because the mayor is responsible for both applying and enforcing the rules and procedures that this council lives under. It's also important for the mayor to have excellent relationships with all of the council members, because one of the roles of the mayor is to resolve disputes and disagreements between council members, which often arise, and I had to mediate a number of disputes between council members when I was mayor. So I outlined very clearly what I thought were the important traits of a mayor in order for this council to be successful. And unfortunately, after working with 2 years with Councilmember Lester, I do not believe that she possesses those traits in sufficient quantity to be a successful mayor, so I cannot support her nomination.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Nay. Okay, motion carries 5-2, I believe. And the gavel passes.
Thank you. I'd first like to thank Councilmember Hytopoulos for your leadership over the past year and your excellent facilitation skills, and thank you so much for your leadership, as well as on the subcommittees. It was a pleasure to work with you. I just wanted to say to the community and to other council members, just to clarify the role of the mayor. The mayor is a voting member of the city council who has no more authority than any other council member. The mayor presides over the council business meetings, assists with council direction in setting meeting agendas, and performs ceremonial duties as outlined in the governance manual and as directed by council. The mayor is selected for 1 year, and that was a decision by the council a couple years ago with our goal of creating an equal body. So it is actually truly an honor to sit with this group of people. I can go down the row. We have Councilmember Scales, who is a municipal lawyer. He brings great policy skills and has drafted many wonderful ordinances, brought them forward. Councilmember Hytopoulos, her background previously was a prosecuting attorney, and now she's hung her shingle out, and she is a lawyer on the island. Councilmember Bonkowski, he comes to us with experience as a CEO of a corporation and has worked with governmental contracts. Dave has been a manager and a project manager in doing field work related to mapping. We have Ms. Councilmember Ann Blair, who has had many years of experience with municipal and nonprofit organizations. And Ms. Sarah Blossom, Councilmember Blossom, she is also a lawyer and has assisted with a family business specifically related to water utility. So as you can see, we bring very interesting and diverse talents, and we have a breadth of knowledge here that I think will do and serve the community well. At this point, I would like to nominate the deputy mayor, or mayor pro temp, and I nominate Ms. Ann Blair.
I second.
The nomination has been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. And Ms. Ann, I'll explain what the mayor pro temp does. He or she presides over the council study sessions, and should the mayor be absent, the mayor pro temp would preside over the council business meeting. The first mayor pro temp in the new year is selected by the council and serves a two-month term. Thereafter, the position is rotated among the council members. Again, this was a very intentional decision by the previous council to help all of us have the skills and have the opportunity to sit in this seat and facilitate the meeting. And again, I very, very much appreciate that we have great talent to serve in this role. And throughout the year, you will see various individuals here. So we will go on. The next item for the agenda is public comment.
Gloria Saylor, and I'm a resident here on Bainbridge Island for 19 years, going on 20, I'm glad to say. I was actually very pleased to observe the City Council retreat the other day. It was something that I'd never imagined I would actually be doing, and I'm realizing that this is another year of firsts for me. I did get to slip out, unlike you, to go to Mochizuki, so I did feel, however, that since you're all committing all your time to being on the City Council, that the least I could do was observe the retreat. I'm very proud to be part of a city that would have the following principles as part of its governance manual. I think they are very worthy of living up to, and I see that as the job you agreed to do when you ran and when you won. I want to uphold these principles that you all endorsed the other day. One, values 1.1.1, city leaders listen to the community in a way that fully represents the community's interests and goals. 1.1.2, collaboration is valued. Council and staff should make the maximum effort to collaborate in every endeavor, seeking consensus as far as possible. 1.1.3, city leaders lead and reason together. Council members should individually and collectively demonstrate the ability to lead and reason together. 1.1.4, the city exemplifies professionalism in management. City leaders exhibit respect for the professionalism and ethical conduct of the city manager and staff. And I would include that professionalism in management also includes each of you as city council members. 1.1.5, sustainability. Leaders strive to achieve sustainable outcomes in city policies and administration with sustainable bottom lines for the community, environment, and for the city finances and the local economy. Item 3.4 in the governance manual talks about public trust and fiduciary duty. The reason I say this with such strong emphasis is because I left that meeting with a great deal of hope. And then the next day, I was astounded to see that that the executive agenda had been amended when I sat in that council retreat and heard that you were going to discuss performance review in the next retreat on January 28th. It's interesting that this morning, I was in an ethics conference. I'm a social worker and I have to do continuing education in ethics every year as part of my own professional training. I was reminded of the principles that drew me to and that I agreed to serve under when I became a social worker. I see these values that have been outlined as your professional principles. They're tough to live up to. The questions and answers aren't always neat. And sometimes it's next to impossible to accomplish. I don't envy you in your role. I didn't run for city council because I don't envy you in your roles. But nonetheless, I hold you up to these principles. I feel like that's what you signed up for. Today's events and Monday's events reminded me of a quote from my grandfather, who was a U.S. senator from Montana during the Roosevelt era. And there's a famous, to me, picture of him in three different photos smoking a cigar, and they say, well, they say I hated Roosevelt, but I didn't really. I merely disagreed with him on some things. He fought Roosevelt on the court packing issue. He fought him on a number of other issues, not all of which I agreed with. But I took that as his seeing as his ethical and professional role, that he could disagree without disliking somebody, and he could disagree in an ethical and professional manner. And I would like to hold up that example to all of you. And specifically, David Ward, I am really disappointed. I was really hoping that all of you would use your
best
practice.
Excuse me, Ms. Gloria. Thank you. The next person that is up is Mr. Bob Fortner. And I would ask that the community refrain from any kind of direct personal attacks. I do wish for us to have a decorum and treat each other respectfully. Thank you. And would you please state your name and address?
Bob Fortner, Summerhill Lane, Bainbridge Island, Washington. Members of Council, I'm addressing the performance review scheduled for the executive session later this evening. In particular, I attended the council retreat just like Gloria on Sunday, where I witnessed day-long discussions from governance to planning and the election of Debbie Lester to be mayor for 2012. In particular, the governance manual discussion included a detailed description of the roles of staff and the electeds and the guidelines by which they would conduct themselves. This discussion concluded with a consensus to follow those guidelines, which included a commitment to open communication, transparency, community involvement in process, and for council members alone, a commitment for no surprise agenda items for fellow council members. I left with a sense of optimism that we could continue to build on the recent successes. That optimism was shattered a mere 24 hours later when I learned that, unbeknownst to fellow council members, Mayor Lester and Councilmember Ward added a surprise agenda item to the executive session, a performance review of the city manager. As a complete and radical departure from Sunday's discussion on this topic, it violates the commitments I witnessed on Sunday. It makes a mockery of the importance of personal integrity in dealing with the community, fellow members of council, etc. Worse, it causes one to wonder if some subscribe to the cynical and destructive memo recently circulated, or maybe party to the anonymous and intentionally destructive letter from the cowardly Mrs. Johnson. Whether this behavior stems from impatience, the triumph of emotion over rational thinking, or unfounded arrogance, I'm certain this is not the kind of council behavior the community had in mind when they approved the change to this form of government. Thank you.
Thank you. The next person up is Ms. Nancy Fortner. Welcome.
Nancy Fortner, Summerhill Lane, Bainbridge. I would like to know why council members Ward and Lester added review performance of an employee to the agenda of tonight's executive session. Since the reason was not made public, and the only employee controlled by the council is the city manager, whose position was made permanent by council in August after a professional outside review, I am left to wonder about the legality and the appropriateness of this item as an agenda item for the meeting that is closed to the public, and why it was added 24 hours after a day-long council retreat. During that retreat, several hours were dedicated to the discussing issues that the council feels needs to be addressed in 2012. Other council members addressed the need to accomplish written, measurable evaluation criteria for the city manager. Why were council members Lester and Ward silent on this issue on Sunday? I care deeply about having an efficient, accessible, accountable, transparent city government. I'm fully aware that democracy is messy, sometimes not very democratic, and the loudest voices often get a lot of attention. Whatever platform you ran on to get elected, our community depends on you and your willingness to learn the facts, weigh all the circumstances, in order to make informed policy decisions as representatives of the entire community that you serve. I expect you to conduct the people's business in accordance with both the rule and the intent of the law. And in addition, I expect you to share relevant details that inform your policy decisions so that we can all understand and evaluate those decisions using the same information. I spent last Sunday, all of it, like you, observing the city council retreat. What I saw and heard then seemed for the most part honest, candid, thoughtful, and factual. I heard you agree to respectfully communicate, collaborate, and debate issues, and to abide by the city government manual, governance manual. What happened?
Thank you. Would anyone else wish to provide public comment? If so, please come forward. So in terms of our council agenda settings, governance manual 7.1, council meeting agendas, when the preliminary agenda has been reviewed by the mayor and the mayor pro tem, he shall have the option of adding or deleting any item from such agenda. On Monday, as I was running to the ferry boat to focus on preparing for my son, who's taking off to Senegal, he's en route to there right now, he'll be landing in Paris. I did get a request from a council member to add an agenda item. I said, please write it up. As I'm going to the boat, I will sign and have that come forward. This is not a new thing. It has been done before. There might be some confusion in terms of evaluation and review. There have been instances where we have discussed employee particular items that have come up relating to employee matters. And those employee matters have ranged from our officers to Facebook postings or such. So in respect, I think that we can move forward on this. Councilmember Scales?
I won't get into an argument about proper procedure and what's gone on before and what hasn't gone on before. My concern at this point, particularly given the public comment, is that not everything is eligible for an executive session. And council members can't on their own decide what is an executive session topic and what is not. That is governed by state law. In order to be exempt from the Open Public Meetings Act, you have to fall into one of the specific exemptions. The only person who's qualified to determine whether a particular topic is subject to an executive session is the city attorney. So I would like to know whether Councilmember Ward has, since he won't tell the council or the public what this item is, if he has consulted with the city attorney to determine that this is appropriate executive session material.
I have determined that the review by the city attorney is not required. It's not mandated by state law or case law to describe the specifics of the discussion prior to the executive session.
Then I will not be attending the executive session until I have an opinion from the city attorney whether whatever topic you want to discuss is appropriate. Otherwise, we will be in violation of the Open Public Meetings Act.
Okay.
I don't agree.
We have item 3.11 from the governance manual, which says role of the city attorney. It says in rare cases, the city attorney may have a conflict and not be in a position to advise both the city council and the city manager. And this is from the Municipal Research Service Center. And they cited us in terms of following through. It cites here knowing the territory, and I looked that up as well. And it says, when analyzing a problem, the legal practitioner should always ask if there is more than one client involved, council, mayor, commissioners, board, and city manager, and whether there is a conflict between these clients. So the next... Councilmember Haitopoulos?
Two things. And I actually voted to add it because, quite frankly, if this is what people want to talk about, let's get it out on the table, whether it's in here or it's in there. So that's why I voted for it, even though I thought the timing was entirely inappropriate. And that's why I'm concerned, because we all had a very clear conversation about the fact that we're headed down a path to create performance measures for Brenda, finally, that were legitimate so that we could measure her performance. And then within one day, this was added to the agenda. But with regards to your statement about the city attorney, the city attorney represents the city, and the issue of our liability with regards to this question is the city's liability, and he is not Brenda's personal attorney or our personal attorney. The essence of his job is to advise us on whether we are conducting procedure in conformance with state law. So I, too, will want to hear from the city attorney, which will be probably quite easy because he will be in our executive session with us. Thank you.
The next item is a public hearing for the right-of-way vacation for a portion of Port Monroe Drive, AB 11-101, and Public Works. Chris Wisbecki, will you be presenting this?
Good evening, Council.
Good evening. No one has signed up for public hearing. Did anyone wish to speak specifically on this right-of-way vacation of Point Warren Row? Okay. Councilmember Wisbecki,
so before you tonight,
please?
Public hearing on this right-of-way vacation and rededication. As you may be aware, the Point Warren Row physical road is not in the location of the platted right-of-way out there on Point Warren Row. The Smiths have a shoreline variance to develop their property on Point Monroe and cannot do so until they are essentially cleared of the right-of-way issues on their property that affect many other properties out there as well. So while we would like to do this comprehensively, when the opportunity arises for one property owner to make this revision so that we have the road and the right-of-way in one location, we're taking that opportunity. As such, we would have the public hearing tonight, and we would bring forward an ordinance vacating and rededicating an equivalent portion of right-of-way for you at your next available meeting. Any questions? I'm happy to answer them.
Why can't it be done for the entire area? If it's shifting over 8 or 10 feet in one area, there are other areas on that road that also are off plat.
This is a platted right-of-way. It was a plat that was done back in 1918 or something like that, very, very early 20th century. In order to do a plat amendment, 51% of the owners would need to sign on to an amendment to revise the right-of-way to change location. We are in contact with a lot of the property owners out there through their involvement in the Shoreline Master Plan update and some of the regulations that they're developing on their own. We've approached them about this issue, but we haven't been able to schedule something that's timely enough for the Smiths to accomplish their development on their property as well. We will still work towards that goal, but in the meantime, we're going to do a couple of them as they're requested of us.
Any further questions? So we will close this public hearing. Thank you. The next item is the consent agenda.
I beg your pardon, as a point of order, do we need any motion to move this forward?
Oh, actually, thank you. Anne, would you like to?
I would.
Thank you.
I move that the City Council schedule the first reading for Ordinance 2012-02 for January 18th. Excuse me. No?
I'd prefer that we schedule it for the 25th, if you don't mind. January 18th is looking fairly full. So we had tentatively placed it for the 25th for first reading and the business meeting after that for second reading.
Good. Well, since I haven't finished that motion, I would be very happy to adjust it and amend, even as I'm speaking. So it would be that we would have the first reading for ordinance number 2012-02 for January 25th, 2012.
Sarah, second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion carries unanimously. The next item is the consent agenda. Do we have a motion to accept? Actually, I would like to pull item C. Just have a few corrections.
Would you like the motion before my question? Actually, I can't make the motion.
Okay. Would anyone like to make the motion to accept items A and B of the consent agenda, and please read them?
I move the council accept items A and B of the consent agenda, accounts payable voucher and payroll approval December 28, 2011 and January 11, 2012, and regular study session meeting minutes December 7, 2011.
Okay, and the corrections that I wanted to add for the regular item C, we have December 14th minutes, page 5, it's starting with council member Scales and council made this decision. The third line from the bottom, midway of the sentence, instead of spend with a D, it should be spent with a T. And I'll pass these corrections off to our city clerk. Page 7, under new business, set council retreat date. There's an unfinished sentence. It was decided the city mayor and mayor pro temp work with incoming council members too, and there's nothing further there. So I would add set a date and propose agenda topics. And then finally on page 8, under for the good of the order, the final sentence needs to be corrected to read, she encouraged those shopping locally to consider also buying, and this is where the corrections made, a special gift for someone in need. And so I'll hand those off to Roz afterwards. Okay, the consent agenda has been moved and seconded. All those in Councilmember Claire?
I have a question, and it's a parlimentary question. Four of us were not in attendance at those meetings, and supposedly we must abstain from acting on those minutes. I mean, that is the way Robert's rules specifies, and I wonder how you handle that, and I would appreciate some advice about that.
How about our city attorney?
Well, the three people that were there can vote on them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But we still should be recorded as an abstention, and then they go with the majority. I mean, it's a technical deal, except we weren't there.
However, technically, they are your minutes because you are now the council, so they are your minutes.
Okay, thank you. And we can. Okay.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The consent agenda passes unanimously. Next on new business, we have a proclamation proclaiming Saturday, January 28, 2012 as Martin Luther King Day, and I would like to invite Jerry Elfendahl to come forward and explain this event.
We have some friends here tonight.
Okay.
I thought what better, you know, for years I've thought we should start our council meetings with a song. If we started our council meetings with a song, it would be wonderful. And I think Pete Seeger said if people had to deliver their political message in singing, there'd be no nasty messages because we'd all recognize our commonality. Guys, let's come on up here and let's pass out the... We're sharing with you excerpts from an editorial that Pastor Paul Sumi Dears made last year after Sing Out. For the over 12 years now, we have done a program honoring Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King by singing the songs that inspired him. And it's low on speeches and long on singing and long on harmony. And it's a full-day program in which we build a community choir each year, and we've had many elected officials participate in this. In fact, the former mayor, for 8 years, she sang with us, and 1 year she flew all of her family out from the Dakotas just to participate. Hillary Franz and her son participated, and we look to you this year to sing. And this year, as you all know, we lost a dear and beloved Ted Spearman. Judge Spearman was one of the inspirations for this program, and it was very fitting that this year we are doing Sing Out for the Bainbridge School Foundation, and it's being held in our grand new wonderful facility that was designed to host 150 voice choir. And in 2009, Ted gave the Martin Luther King Day address for the Kitsap County, and in it, his whole focus was on education. So it all seems to come together. His memorial, by the way, is going to be the 21st in January over at Squamish Church. We've got Dick Levin here and some people who have been in the Sing Out in the past. This is not rehearsed. And the idea here is that every one of us are going to sing right now. And we're going to sing a song you all know. It's very simple. And it goes like this as soon as Dick gives us a warm-up. You want to sing from here, Dick? You okay there? You want the mic? Okay. Okay, here we go.
Thank you. Woo, thank you. Okay. Woo!
one last time, this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let my little light shine.
Thank you.
Now this is not really totally representative of what happens on the sing out, because we bring in literally one of the single best gospel singers and gospel singing teachers in the world today, Pastor Pat Wright. Her choir was the number one choir in the world in 1993, the Sydney Opera House at the World Choir Competition, with 12 singers. They came in second to 110 kids from Manila at the 2008 World Gospel Singing Competition in Seoul, Korea. They were the first African-American choir ever to sing in the Mormon Tabernacle. They've sung for two presidents. Three members of their choir, and no other organization in the United States can say this, three members of their choir made it to the finals of American Idol. And Pat comes in, and with no sheet music, old traditional, we will teach.
They get the message. Thank you.
They have something to tell us.
I have a proclamation. Whereas, by the Act of Congress, the third Monday of January is a national holiday as the birthday of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., who championed the cause of American civil rights. Whereas, island residents value their historic multicultural roots and celebrate their diversity in many equally diverse and creative ways, including singing. Whereas the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. rejoiced in his faith in humanity and received inspiration from singing and listening to African American spirituals and traditional black gospel music. Whereas the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. expressed a philosophy of nonviolence, equality, and a freedom for all. Whereas the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. worked tirelessly to bring in fruition the visions he relayed in his public address entitled, I Have a Dream. And whereas since 2000, a public celebration of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s life has inspired the creation and culmination of the annual Martin Luther Jr. Memorial Choir, where many voices under the direction of world renown, Pastor Pat Wright, and the Total Experience Gospel Choir. And whereas Sing Out is held between Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Day and February Black History Month, and whereas the community overwhelmingly supports the 13th annual Sing Out event and does hereby support the 2012 Sing Out, which will be held on January 28, 2012, at the Bainbridge Island High School Commons, located at 9330 Northeast High School Road, Bainbridge Island, whereas the events benefit the Bainbridge School Foundation. Now, therefore, we, the City Council of Bainbridge Island, warming up our tenor and soprano voices to sing as members of our body have done before, hereby declare Saturday, January 28th, as the island's 13th annual Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Sing Out and Pat Wright and Total Experience Gospel Choir Appreciation Day, and encourages residents to join the choir, share a soulful meal, and the inspiration of Sing Out. And I will sign this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Council, and thank you, Debbie, and thank you, Martin. Hope to see you there. Do we get a copy?
Here it is. Thank you. The next item is unfinished business, and I requested that we go over our next retreat date and as well our ward meetings. And as we just heard, there is a very important event on January 28th, and I'm wondering, Council, if we could entertain having a different date for that event. For our council retreat. We just celebrated January 28th as the Sing Out, and some council people would love to attend and participate within that event. And so I
ask if there could we consider a different date. Councilmember Bonkowski.
I think we spent a lot of time trying to figure out a date for.
Okay. Okay. Councilmember Haitopoulos?
Yes, likewise, I've been trying to plan a retreat for another organization, and I'm really booked, and this would be pretty hard for me to move, and I also think we need to get on it right away. Thanks.
Councilmember Blair?
Well, I would encourage us to keep the date, the January 28th, and we can go and sing at night at the Sing Out and participate in the choir if that fits in with our world.
That could work. So it seems like there's a majority of council members that would like to retain that date. Maybe that'll help us get done early. Our other items we had for the community, our first ward meeting will be Tuesday, February 7th at 7 p.m. Our second quarter ward meeting will be Tuesday, May 1st at 7 p.m. And our third quarter ward meeting will be Tuesday, September 18th. Okay, the next item is the review of upcoming City Council meeting agendas.
So you will shortly have a preliminary agenda for next week, Wednesday the 18th. It's a study session. We'll begin with a briefing from Puget Sound Energy. They would like to cover the status of their projects from 2011, which is the Sportsman Club. They call it the Burn Cove Project, Phase 1. Talk to you about planning for Phase 2, which we're helping to coordinate with the school district and with PSE. One of the big concerns of the project partners is the next phase of the project will come down Madison Avenue and around the corner of New Brooklyn, and will basically pass by quite a few schools, churches, et cetera. So finding a way to stage the work and get as much done as possible during the summer months is of critical importance to everyone. So we're working on that. And then they'd like to begin to talk to you about a project they refer to as Winslow 15. It has to do with the Buckland Hill piece of road. You may have seen the flagging out there for the survey work. So we would like to bring that towards for council's opportunity to ask PSE any questions as soon as possible. So because we have somebody from an external person coming, I want to make sure that time and date works for you before we let them plan around that. And then you had previously requested time for the UNICAL project folks to come in and give a presentation. We've included that. There is an interlocal agreement proposed on stormwater outreach with Kitsap County that Lance Newkirk will be discussing with you. And then there'll be some information in your packets. He'd also like to discuss with you an approach to the water and sewer comprehensive plans that we have intended to complete this year. And as part of the UAC's recommendation on the water utility, there is an operational change, which is to move the city towards bi-monthly billing, so every other month. And Ellen Schroer will be bringing you some details on that. It requires a code change, and that's why it comes to council's attention. Under emerging issues, you'll see you have requested time to talk about commemorative opportunities on city property. We also expect to be ready for you to consider appointments to ETAC, and you had also asked for time to have your ad hoc committee come back and talk about process for determining use of the Washington State Ferry Funds.
Councilmember Blair?
Councilmember Ward and Lester and I met on the determining the use of the Washington State Ferry Funds, and although we thought we were quite productive, we would like to postpone this until the next study session. We're not going to be ready to have completed what we would like to bring to you so that you have something really very substantial and solid to consider.
So you're targeting the 1st of February?
Yes, if that's okay with others here. I think we did talk about it, but we would bring it up and let you all decide if that's okay.
Anything else for next week? Okay, then looking ahead on the long-range calendar, you'll see I want to talk explicitly about...
Actually, I think we might need to have extension with an executive session. It looks like we're ending at 7:35, so either at the beginning or at the end. Primarily, the executive session this evening, the 2 hours, was originally dedicated mostly
for discussion of potential litigation, potential litigation. So our initial conversation may need to extend to another executive session, and I want to make sure that we have
So what time would you like that?
Council, we're ending right now at 7:35. Would you like it at the end or prefer at the beginning? We're ending fairly soon.
You'll be ending a half an hour earlier because you took the Washington State Ferry topic off.
Perfect. So let's go ahead.
I thought we were trying to move away from having executive sessions every week, and mm-hmm. Hadn't we discussed that? Am I wrong? And to have them on business meetings?
No, we only schedule it planned for executive session when you request it,
right?
Or when we are bringing something forward to you.
Okay. So I certainly do not want an executive session prior to 5:30.
So maybe at the end of the night, since we have removed half-hour discussion of.
And what's the topic?
That would be continuation of the performance review of an employee.
Okay. And how long?
One hour? Half hour?
Which?
Why do we need so much time in executive session? Well, this item should come out here onto the dais.
If it ends up that that's the case, then I would like to provide ample time for conversation with council.
Well, you know, Debbie, quite frankly, I think this is really unfair to the administration to have them on pins and needles for weeks. I think we can complete our conversation tonight. I don't really see why we should drag this on for at least 2 weeks, two executive sessions, while people are on pins and needles.
I think she indicated that it was an as needed.
Well, so I think having it at the end of the, and if it is unnecessary, then we will remove it. I'm just trying to be very respectful and provide you ample time. We had the situation here that 3 days notice was not enough, and you wanted it to happen at this moment, and so we are requesting it at this moment. Councilmember Scales?
Well, now's I think a good time to. We had a previous discussion about the city attorney's role, and I know that Councilmember Ward has reviewed this issue and determined in his opinion that it meets executive session. And Councilmember Lester talked about conflicts of interest, although the problem with that is that we don't get to determine whether there's a conflict of interest for the city attorney. That's the city attorney's role. And so in order for him to determine whether or not he does have a conflict of interest that would not allow him to advise us or be in executive session, you need to let him know what it is. And I think you need to let the council know what it is you want to talk about, and ideally the public as well, because having this rolling executive session is unfair to the council, it's unfair to the city manager and the administration, it's certainly unfair to the public. So it's time for you to talk with the city attorney, determine whether this is executive session material. If it isn't, we talk about it on the full council. If it is, we'll talk tonight and then we'll determine what the next steps are.
And there are, and for the community as well, there are excellent services. Municipal Research Service Center often provides guidance to citizens as well as council members, and we can certainly follow through. The question has been asked and it has been answered.
Well, MRSC, with all due respect, Councilmember Lester, MRSC does not represent the city. They do not provide legal advice to the city. They are a general advisory service for municipal governments. We have a city attorney that represents us, that represents the city. If you do not use him, that is negligent. You cannot seek legal advice from a general research services center.
Councilmember Bonkowski?
Is it appropriate, since Councilmember Scales mentioned that the attorney is going to be in the executive session? Since Councilmember Scales mentioned that the city attorney is going to be in the executive session, and I hear on the other side that Councilman Ward views that this is warrants an executive session, maybe that's the right place for, before anything gets discussed, is to review the material apparently that he has with the attorney and make that determination. And if it isn't appropriate for executive session, then it doesn't get discussed. If it is appropriate, it gets discussed. So I don't see there's a conflict in terms of between whether it should or shouldn't be discussed. I would be, if I've got a council member that says he believes it is, then it would be inappropriate for him to divulge those issues that he thinks are. And so I think going into executive session, having the city attorney go and review that, and if it's not appropriate, it's not appropriate. Okay? But if it is appropriate, then we're there and we can do the work.
That sounds perfect.
So.
Okay. Okay.
So for purposes of getting our agenda ready to publish by the end of this week, if you'll just remember to advise the city clerk whether you would like to have an executive session added to next week, we'll leave it off for now.
Okay, thank you.
Looking ahead to the long range, I want to pay a particular attention to the 25th. We are intending to include time for the non-motorized transportation committee to make their presentation to you on their 2012 work plan. Finance will bring to you, as council indicated last year, an allocation of the expenses associated with the utility business advisor contract so that you have a chance to understand finance's allocation across different funds for those expenses. There is a need to amend the contract for the public art component of Winslow Way. You will do the first reading of the Point Monroe right-of-way vacation that we had the public hearing for tonight. And we expect to be ready for committee appointments for the UAC and Planning Commission. Any questions about the 25th?
No.
All right, and so beyond that, I just encourage you, if you have items that you know about and are aware of or have questions about, to please contact me.
The next item is for good of the order. Any council members? I do have an item, and it's kind of interesting that we sang This Little Light of Mine tonight. City Hall solar panel presentation will be held at the Bainbridge Island Museum of Art in their new auditorium Tuesday, January 17th at 6:30 p.m. They're going to be presenting our future solar panel roof. So I look forward to seeing that.
I did have something else.
Councilmember Blair?
Sadly, I don't necessarily know that it's the good of the order, and I do think it's important to bring it up, particularly because at Sunday's retreat, one of the things we discussed was the receipt of anonymous messages or letters. I received one addressed to me personally, and I am telling you in public and all of you, and it will become part of the public record. It's not a nice letter, and I would prefer, if you would like me to read it out loud, I will, but I don't know that there's anything to be gained, particularly by doing that, but I do think it's important for everyone to know that I did receive this anonymous letter. It was written to me, mailed to City Hall, and I picked it up today. So I will give, I'm assuming, our attorney, because you would keep the formal public record. I don't know to whom it goes, but I don't need it. To Roz. Okay, thank you.
Actually, let me clarify. The city attorney does not keep the city's public records.
Okay.
But
thank you for the clarification.
But the city clerk will
perfect.
Make sure
that's
it's kept.
Who will get it. Thank you.
Okay. With that, we will adjourn. And we are moving now into executive session, Wednesday, January 11th, 2012. The City Council will be adjourning to executive session in the Planning Conference Room 125 with legal counsel to discuss current and potential litigation, collective bargaining negotiations, review performance of an employee. The session will commence at 5 till 8, and we will be out around 5 till 10. And if no action will be taken, no action will be taken in this executive session. The council will be adjourning to the executive session with legal counsel in the planning conference room to discuss current litigation, potential litigation, collective bargaining negotiation, and review of performance employee. Excuse me, Councilmember Bonkowski, make sure your mic's off. The executive session is expected to last 2 hours, and with that, we're allowing the clerk
and the officer to go ahead and go home because we're not expecting to take any action. Thank you.